Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury. Welcome to this ASI cast, where we explore some of the problems associated with television audience measurement that are often overlooked. The complex demands that need to be met now often involve many parties engaging in a collaborative approach. Measurement has become a team game that requires a great deal of project management. Nor is it possible to consider that one size fits all, as specific approaches have to be adopted to take account of markets with very distinct cultural differences. Aside from anything else, these can often give rise to serious compliance and panel management issues. Our research director, Richard Marks, talks to Chris Ahern of 3M3A of some of the problems he encountered while setting up a TAM service in the UAE.
Well, welcome to the ASI cast, Chris. For those of our listeners who haven't come across you before, could you just quickly give us some background on your involvement with TV measurement up until this point?
Sure. I've come into TV measurement through a circuitous route, originally in journalism, and then production, and then sort of into project management and in technology and media business consulting and that sort of thing. And I came into it because the company I was working for in Abu Dhabi was very keen on driving forward electronic measurement in the region, and they asked me as a project manager to get involved in it. And obviously they couldn't find anyone else silly enough to take over the job, so they asked me to stay on and run the thing once it was up and running. And that's how I've got into it. So now that's become my thing as well.
So there's an element of everyone else taking a step backwards and you being left as the person nominated.
Yes, I think it was partly, and, you know, this is, you know, how I approach the role now is that, you know, I know as a project manager that it's all very well. Lots of companies have great ideas, whether that's in measurement or you know, business or production or whatever, but execution is the really hard bit. And that's where, you know, project management skills come into that. And I think increasingly will come into that. You know, I see a lot of parallels in, you know, when I first started in television, it was an analog thing. We'd only just come over from film and you used to do it, you know, the tape would be made and it would go into one machine and it would physically be transported from that machine into the place where it was going to play out. And I think audience measurement has been along those sort of lines, whereas there was a very linear process of how it worked. And what happened in television is that suddenly everything became electronic and digital. And instead of the skill of putting together a chain being one of connecting cables, it became one of integrating IT and integrating bits of software and making sure that, you know, this company worked with that company and all the bits were covered. And I think that's where we're going with audience measurement, because it's coming to the point where really you have to be talking to several different organizations to cover all the bases when you're talking about television and online and digital and other forms of measurement that are all coming into it, you know, census level, individual, household. So combining that is what, you know, I think is one of, you know, my skills or skills that come from outside of that world. And that's why recently I've now left the UAE setup, and I'm now working through a consultancy that I've set up with Robert Rood, who many people will know. He has a long background in auditing, and, you know, we think it's a complementary skill. You know, he knows all the statistics and the research and stuff, but I know how to get things done and make sure that things are being done.
I mean, yeah, there was a quote, I think, on Twitter earlier this week from Nielsen saying that measurement is a team game. And I guess you're kind of amplifying that point, that it's getting more and more complex in terms of the companies you need to be talking to, having access to data from, to build these services. Now, at the Singapore conference, I think your main focus is not going to be necessarily on the technology and more on people themselves, on the cultural and social issues that TV measurement systems can encounter, because that's sometimes forgotten. And I've often said it before that the people are the most forgotten element of any technology development. The actual people are going to have to be asked to use, carry, wear, interact with the measurement technology. I know this is a topic close to your heart, so can you give us an idea of some of the challenges that you yourself have faced in your involvement with TV measurement?
Sure. Yeah. Well, we had an interesting situation in the sense of the, you know, challenging, interesting. That TVU EMNC was really the first large scale audience measurement system in the Arab world. Certainly in the Gulf, there are some other systems, but you know, in terms of measuring, you know, hundreds of channels and that sort of thing, it was the first one to try to do that, and. You know, I can understand why, but there, you know, was a bit of a, how should I put it nicely? You know, there is naturally a tendency to say, well, this worked in other places, so let's apply it here. And that was quite a challenge in the UAE, and I think, you know, would be replicated in other parts of the Arab world. You know, hopefully we'll see what happens with the Saudi system when they get up and running, that there are a lot of cultural barriers and cultural differences in the way that people approach these things. You know, for example, an Arab household is very private. You know, the Arab culture is very, you know, hospitable and welcoming, but the typical Arab household has what they call a majlis. In Western terms, think of it like an old-fashioned drawing room. It was where you invited the guests, but the guests never go any further. So when you're sending a technician, you know, who, and there are some class issues here as well, you're sending this sort of low-grade technician into the house of a very well-off Emirati or Arab family, and it's fine for them to go into the majlis and install a meter, but then he starts asking to go into, you know, the wife's bedroom to install a bit of kit, you start to have difficulties. And, you know, that was, you know, some of the challenges. We had other challenges too, about the other end of the scale, even about what's a household. Mm. You've got a situation in many of the Arab countries, the Gulf countries, where you've got a lot of workers, itinerant workers, people who are there sharing, you know, bed space, basically. Just because six guys share a room together, does that make them a household? So, you know, we had to, at both extremes, had a lot of challenges that just weren't like anything that people had come across in other countries.
Mm. I mean, there can be an assumption with the core of a TAM service that it is, as you say, a nuclear family pressing buttons. And when you've got, I guess also you've got a high degree of say, migrant workers, where even in those households, if they are actual households, there's a high turnover of people coming in and out in terms of things like allocating buttons on remote controls and so on. So
even just understanding things, you know, you've got a situation where, you know, you're explaining something in English to, you know, you've got a person who, you know, English is their second or third language anyway, the person who's explaining it, whether the technician or panel recruiter, to somebody, you know, for whom English is also their second or third language. And you know, you even get, I've listened to a lot of the calls and stuff that we do from the call center, and sometimes people just have basic difficulties understanding what we're asking them, you know, when we're doing a compliance survey or when we're explaining about, you know, how to use it and that sort of thing.
So in terms of those particular challenges, were there things that you investigated to deal and adapt with them? I mean, how can we take account of some of these issues?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there was no silver bullet, and I have to give credit particularly to the local Kantar team, you know, who really for the last 3 years have just been scratching away at this. You know, there hasn't been a single solution, and they've just had to try and push every button they can to gradually get things working, you know, particularly in terms of compliance was where we were having the most difficulty. And to a large degree, they have succeeded. You know, we're hopeful, we've got an audit just in its final stages at the moment. I'm hoping at the ASI that I will be able to reveal the results of that and that we will actually have got over the line. So, I mean, we did things like put in audible tones to the meter, audible warnings for when people, the meter comes on and households don't log in. They had to do a whole lot of just old-fashioned panel management, looking at households where, you know, we have a lot of big households where you'll get coverage from the household, but not from all the individuals in the household. So we had to, you know, dig down into that and say, well, have we got a household of, you know, 5-6 people where we're constantly getting 2 or 3 of them being registering their viewing? We had to, you know, do a lot in terms of incentives and how we deal with some of the shared households, how they, you know, who you're actually dealing with and defining the household. And just you know, patiently explaining it to them and going back. Personally, I would have liked to have seen some more effort into perhaps some technological solutions. You know, I think there are possibilities with things like Bluetooth and RFID, which haven't yet been explored. And I think that's probably because we're the ones who have this situation the worst. Should it be a problem in some of the major markets, I think we'll find the vendors very, very quickly putting some effort into looking at those sort of solutions.
Yeah, it's interesting that over the last 10 years or so, there hasn't been that much debate in the, certainly at ASI events, about the ways in which people register on people meters. There's been a lot of debate about portable meters and the advantages of return path data, but largely the idea of a handset that people press buttons allocated to them has been pretty much set in stone for the last 20 years without much debate about it.
Yeah, and we did some qualitative research with some of the panelists, you know, the ones who weren't compliant, and the feedback we got from them was along the lines of, look, you know, guys, I've got a 60-inch organic LED screen. I walk into my house and everything that I have connects with, you know, all my devices and you know, my Wi-Fi and my Bluetooth and everything. And you want me to sit down and press this thing that looks like it escaped from 1984? You know, it's just not happening. and you know, that was the quality of feedback that we were getting from the panelists, and I think that will, you know, that will grow. You know, people just, it's just not the way people work. You know, I don't expect to have to, you know, manually connect things when I walk into my house. So why should I have to do that if I'm taking part in a panel?
Mm. Well, I think that's something we may well pick up on in a wider debate after your paper, because I'm sure a number of the attendees can have some quite interesting views on that. Your paper itself is called TAM Out of the Box, and we'll be hearing of it in less than a month now, I think. So thanks for taking the time to speak to the ASI cast, and we look forward to catching up with you in Singapore.
No problem. Looking forward to being there.
Cheers.